So I should just introduce myself. I'm a folklorist and ethnographic filmmaker. I studied at the University of Pennsylvania at the folklore department there in the heyday of its time, and have since made various films for development and ethnographic production as well. And as an introduction, I'd like to say this is the title of a film that I've made recently on a film project for archiving the epic of Papuji Ki Par in Rajasthan, which was funded by the Firebird Foundation for Anthropological Research. And this is just sort of a background to what I'm going to talk about today, what I learned in the process of doing that project, and consequently the thoughts I've had on both archives, the production of archives, and also the production of film as a recording mode for oral performance. So I'm going to deal with that whole issue of archiving of oral performance through film, and then some of the aesthetic and ethical aspects of documenting oral performance on film. And thirdly, my thoughts, which have already been suggested by other speakers, really, the way in which archival documentation can become more polymodal and through links, attach and acquire more meaning by adding text, oral material, and analysis. I should just say that this shot shows the sacred pad, as it's known, the scroll, upon which you see the image of Papuji. And this scroll is very long. It's 5 meters long. And when it is unrolled, it becomes a shrine, a sacred shrine, in which, through puja, through offering, it's believed that Papuji becomes embodied in the screen. And so it becomes a sacred place upon which the epic is performed. Now, I'll come back to this and I'll show you two clips of the film to illustrate various points. But what I realized in this project is that no longer can we regard documentation just for archival purposes, for scholars to review and digest. Because, of course, professional musicians now regard financial remuneration as key, and this includes the performers of Papuji Epic. They perform for patrons, and I was one of their patrons. So I feel that now, having done this project, that performers should benefit from the documentation in order to support the perpetuation of their livelihood and cultural legacy. So actually many other speakers have addressed this issue as well. And because of poverty, certain cultural and ecological changes that are taking place in the environments where we work, I think this has become more of a pressing issue than perhaps it was in the past. Also, I think because of digital technology and the emergence of the internet as a broadcasting forum and marketing agent, that a phenomenon has occurred which we might call the commodification of expressive culture. Not only the production of DVDs and so on, but the way in which YouTube has also entered the scene as a source of material. And in this technological universe where some of these sounds and images are sold, the issues of copyright, naturally intellectual property rights, and the commercialization of expressive culture on the web have become paramount, and as we've heard from other speakers, have created expectations amongst performers as to what they could receive, should receive, and are entitled to. Now, a first issue I'd like to address is whether or not how film becomes a medium for archiving oral performance and some of the issues, the aesthetic issues related to that. I think the problem arises when we consider that a film is really an artistic work, and the question is, how does that then translate into pure documentation? I think the inclination to create an artistic work through framing of the subject, camera angles, use of close-ups, etc., is natural to any filmmaker. And in recognition of that fact, I think we must recognize that such an approach does impinge on the nature of the performance record and creation of the final product. So that visual and oral representation on film is not neutral. It's not even a document as such, but it is an individual work by an ethnographer, which itself will become an object of analysis and interpretation, not only by those who see the film, and by fellow anthropologists, but by the performers themselves. And in the case of this particular epic, which is musically intriguing and visually stunning, several issues presented themselves in terms of filming, how to film. Many speakers, in particular Roger and others, have mentioned how epic can be extremely boring, staid, static. In this particular case, the performance is quite captivating because of the colors of both the performers' costumes and the pad. But it is also static because there are two figures who face each other, but do not move much once the epic has started. So it is relatively static, but at the same time, the whole point of the epic are the words, the poetry that is being sung. So it is logocentric. And in the case of this epic, it is only comprehensible to Marwari speakers, and even only then, with those familiar with the Koine of Papuji, because it is, again, an archaic lexicon. So it's not boring, but it's very static. So the problem arises in filming, how to film such an event. And also, I realized I was trying to communicate in this film, the filmed event, some of the comprehension, or give an audience the ability to comprehend what is going on. And I realized that the belief system and the sense of identity of the proponents, the performers of the tradition, was a determining factor in understanding the epic. How to film that? Not possible. So how to communicate this simultaneous image, sound, poetry that we see in an oral performance in a record for an oral archive? This was the question I was trying to address. Now, the language of performance to me is extremely important, I feel, because I'm interested in poetry, and the whole idea of the epic is that an audience understands what is being sung and reacts to it. And that language is redolent of invested meanings, prior contexts, and poetic phrases and formulae that are known to the performers and to others, but not to, for example, me as a recorder. So as an ethnographer in this particular case and a filmmaker, my understanding of the epic was constrained. But I wanted to understand it. I wanted to understand the poetry. So to me, the film in itself, filming the event, was not sufficient, even though I was going to transcribe the entire text in Marwari and get it translated with interpreters and so on. So the film lacked sufficient communicative aspect, I felt. So I then realized that it needed a more multimodal approach to archiving, which other people have suggested in their various presentations, how visual images can be inserted in web pages and so on, and this is also true. I felt that for the poetry, that subtitles would not work. And one of the reasons is that the length of the performance is at least 1 hour, so it would have been extremely expensive and very cumbersome, but also because subtitles detract from the visual image that you're watching and the emotional impact of the epic. So, and you cannot, I mean, even as opera goers will know, you cannot constantly string subtitles along throughout a performance. It's simply distracting. So, what I would like to show you, the first clip, is towards the climax of one episode of the epic, which conveys some of the emotion of it, but perhaps you can get the sense that why I voted against subtitles for the content. This is a short clip. This is Pateshi Devi in Pabusa singing her heart out, really, as the epic develops, the timbre and the crescendo in her voice is raised. Where is it? Yeah, play. Well, this is just the end of the last bit, yeah. I showed that clip to really show you how the emotional vibrancy of the epic and to argue for non-subtitling of the text. So the question arises, how can we deal with the poetics, the poetry of the epic? And to me, I felt that I should put it in another place, but not on the film, in an article, in a monograph, and have translation access, but also synopses of the various plots. What I should tell you is that in this project, I filmed four different performances of the epic in four different areas of Rajasthan. I should have mentioned at the beginning, actually, in order to survey the nature of the epic and to answer the burning question that was at the root of the project in my mind, what was the role of the woman singer in the epic? Because previous scholars had argued that the woman was not really present in the performance, and yet when I had seen it performed, I'd seen women singing, but I wasn't clear as to their actual role. And it's quite clear here that she is the main star performer. So I am most grateful to the World Oral Literature Project for having produced the monograph about this film, which brings analysis to bear and also some of these synopses, as well as some interpretation of the context of the epic, its historic history, and also the function of the epic, which is related to healing rituals. To conclude, I would like to say that, just as other scholars have recognized the evolution of epic in the modern world through the prevalence of tourist audiences, the demand in Rajasthan, at least, for more percussion, more sort of lively music to be shown to tourists, and also the impact of DVDs and other Bollywood-type performances on their own genre, that it's even more crucial for us to record the epic as it stands at the moment. But it's also, I think, it has to be said, it is important to also acknowledge that the genre is changing as the influences affect the economic state of the performers. And what I wanted to say in addition to that is that for the performers to survive, they need a source of income. And if they're not to become manual laborers, which seems to be the alternative trajectory. So what I decided to do to help them along was actually to make DVDs with covers and so on Photoshop and so on, one for each performance, to be given to each of the performers and for sale. I thought it wouldn't be sufficient just to have a plain DVD in a case, because they need to sell to tourists. They need something that looks good. And then the final film I made, which is excerpts from these four performances, plus excerpts of interviews done with the main performers, and inside a small description and then a point that it can be, they can link it to the online monograph of the World Oral Literature Project, which I think is absolutely fantastic as a way of combining all these elements, the textual, oral, visual, and analytic. So there's just one little clip I'd like to show, if I have time, it's just 1 minute, of showing how the performers asked me at the end if they could show me a song and sing it in front of the pad. So in this particular case, the sacred scroll becomes just a backdrop. You know, it ceases to have its sacred, in a sense, its sacred meaning. But it's part of the way the future looks for the epic. That's that. That's the end of that clip. And that was a performance by the Bopa and Bopi of Jodhpur. And you can see he's an accomplished musician. So I'll end there. And if you have any questions, if we have time.